For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very prestigious evening here on the program. Is it, of course, Lowell's Awards Night, an annual tradition we are starting tonight. I am here with my co-host and presenter, Mr. Brian Hooper. How are we doing?
Good. It's an honor, really, isn't it, Pete?
It is an honor. I think sometimes we take it for granted. It is an honor to have this platform and be able to share with a community like this.
Mm-hmm. And these polls are definitive. Right.
Yep. There is. I already saw people were demanding. Willis was already saying rigged voter fraud, and we need to shoot down these claims.
No, that's why we didn't use Twitter, because we needed a secure poll. So clearly we're going to get hacked on this.
Yeah, we did need to address that right out of the gate. You know, a lot of big brains saying, why would you just use the Twitter polling service? Well, you know, Brian and I have grown distrustful of the Twitter platform. Brian, I know you've been actually exploring different social media sites even because of this.
That's right. Yeah, I'm the number one ranked DFS player on Gitter right now. I have 3 followers.
Yeah.
But at least I'm number one, you know, somewhere.
This is a big day for me, kind of learning more about my co-hosts and their other social media lives. I found out David Kitchen has like 1,000 followers on the DraftKings social media. Part of the site. I had no idea.
What is the DraftKings social media part of the site? I don't even.
So the only reason I know it is because now that I've been getting all of these head-to-head invites, people have been sending me friend requests too. Yeah. And so if you click the friend request, you go over to this profile page or whatever, and it's like they built out a social media site, and I refuse to indulge it.
Oh, I've had hundreds of those. I never over the years, never realized. So I figured it was just so they could send me requests to join GPPs or something.
I think that's what it initially was, the like invite feature, friend feature, but then they built it out and actually created like a social media feed for it. So who knows? We might be missing all kinds of good content. Maybe the Chipotle brothers are like just shit posting over there all day.
Mm. Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Seriously, Brian says my friend request has been pending with Pete since the summer. I have not accepted a single friend request on DraftKings, and I never will.
Yeah.
All no I want is your head-to-heads. Yeah. Brian, why don't you kind of set the stage for people, you know, the types of, you don't have to get into the specifics. We're going to go through each one, but kind of what these awards are supposed to encapsulate and kind of, you know, our philosophy on these.
Well, it definitely wasn't just something we made up and spent 15 minutes on today. That's for sure. We put a lot of time and effort into this. And, you know, polled serious members of our Discord on what, you know, should be, you know, what should be up for a vote and what shouldn't. We do have 2 polls that we didn't even put up for a vote. They were so obvious. We got a bunch of different polls.
Yeah.
I don't know,
well, I have them all pulled up in tabs. I will say, if you guys didn't see the polls, I'll actually post the thread right here in Twitter. in the YouTube chat. So if you want to quickly tab through those and rock your vote, we will be going through each of those tonight. I'll just quickly read the categories. So we have DFS Player of the Year. We have Best DFS Beef. We have Best Top Shot Purchase. Best DFS Players to Have a Threesome With. Most Devastating Block of the Year, Twitter Block of the Year. NFT Project of the Year. Best DFS Podcast that doesn't include LOLs. Brian and I did indulge, and we do appear in some of these, but this is a non-LOLs category. Best LOLs Guest. We had some good guests this year. DFS Sexiest Man of the Year. This one is hotly contested. And then, of course, a late poll entrant, the Cash Game Grinder of the Year. And this one might be a little controversial.
That's right. And I added another one after Lock, after DFS Lock. Truth Conspiracy. Best Truth Conspiracy of the Year.
Did that one just get added?
I retweeted my original tweet.
Okay. I'll add that one here to the mix. I see it. Okay. Excellent. So do you want to, should we just start with kind of the order that you posted them, or?
I didn't put them in any special way. I thought maybe we'd just let you go with your gut on what's going good with the flow. Some of them are more serious than others, so I don't know how you want to do it.
No, yeah.
We should probably leave the best ones for the last, right? So DFS Player of the Year should be last, right?
No, I was actually going to think that one is first.
Okay. I don't care. Whatever.
So Brian, how about this? I will say the category and why don't you say the nominees, and then I will reveal the winner with a screen share here. So DFS Player of the Year, Brian, I hand you the envelope.
Okay. Well, let me pull up the polls.
Sorry guys. We forgot to do our dress rehearsal earlier.
Yeah. We're looking a little late. All right. What's the first one?
DFS Player of the Year. We have four nominees.
Okay. Uh-huh, bro. Who shows up in another poll too, or another one of these, by the way. Should I give like who they are?
Yeah. Give a little just for people who aren't familiar with some of these guys.
Yeah. Uh-huh, bro. He does, I think he's done some awesome. He did a Blender Pod once. Yeah. He's on Twitter. You guys probably follow him. He's got like 5,000 followers. He had just a massive year last year. Kind of, I don't know, unknown out of the blue. I don't know. I'm not trying to insult anybody. We've talked about him on the show before. Awesome-o goes without saying, right? And yep. Did he win the Millie 2021 or 2022? What?
That would have been Sunday, which was that was 2022.
2022. Okay.
Yeah,
but he might get that that love and pull away with it. And then all these guys are obvious. Big T obviously won a million this year, finished pretty strong, it looked like, from his tweets. And he tweets out his wins all the time, so you guys should be seeing everything he does. And then of course, Whistles Go Woo, Pete's best buddy. I don't know how many millies he won last year. Three.
Yeah, I mean, did he win a milli?
I don't think so, but he won like $100,000.
Yeah, so maybe if he wins 10 100Ks, do we let him on the show? Is that how that works?
I guess we can make some exceptions for those. Yeah, he won. I don't know, especially baseball. I'm trying to think. Like I remember in 2016, I want to say. Sean Zahn, he works for Osmo now. He went on a run. It always seems like it's in baseball.
Yeah.
He went on a run that I remember like 100K every other day, it seemed like. And this one like dwarfed it. And it's tough because a lot of times, like if I'm losing, I don't even look at who won. You know what I mean? I like, fuck these guys. So I'm not paying total attention. Although these are the most definitive polls out there and binding for life. But this isn't scientific exactly.
All right.
But yeah,
so he went off. Drum roll, please. This is it. The winner of DFS Player of the Year is none other than Whistles Go Woo.
All right.
Congratulations, Whistles. Yes. Go ahead.
With the two polls we did that we weren't going to do a poll because it was so obvious, the two awards. I was thinking this one too was almost there. I kind of figured he would rack it up.
Yeah. Also, everyone just relax. There's lots of awards tonight. If maybe someone you're referencing hasn't been received or been nominated for an award, they probably will be nominated. So, Frederick, just relax. We got lots of awards to give out tonight.
Who's he talking about?
Mock Levin. He wondered why he wasn't DFS Player of the Year. So I just said, let's just chill. Yeah, let's chill.
I could have put Mock Levin in there.
Yeah. So congratulations to Whistle Go Woo. Massive year, like you said, multimillionaire makers, a TV show appearance on Let's Go, and of course, an appearance on Lulz. I mean, those are kind of the holy triumvirate of DFS accomplishments, I would say.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, even if you throw Mock Levin in there, I guess you could have put him in as the fifth or for Bro or something like that. But I think Whistles Go is winning this, right? I mean.
Yeah. As Historical Anomaly says here in the chat, Lulz pulled Whistles out of the shadows. Now he is a movie star. It is hard not to see the correlation from the Lulz bump for him.
The Lulz bump is big. Yeah, he's got like 2,000 Twitter followers and he hasn't even tweeted.
It's true. I mean, we look at, you know, we got people like Chess Is Okay bursting onto the content scene. We have RBX88, you know, crawling out from his orgies to join Twitter. And I attribute all of those to the Lulz bump.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. The ladies, I don't know. It just might be natural for Gio. This might be a natural occurrence.
Okay. Our right. Next one. I mean, this one could literally be changed by votes. That's how close this one is. This is best DFS beef, Brian. The nominees, please.
We got Osmo and Empire Maker. So we did like two shows on that one at least, right?
Yeah.
That one was classic. You know, was that this year? Well, whatever. We're saying all these in this year. And they went, I don't know, they played.
Was that this year? I can't even remember. Or was that last year?
Doesn't matter. The beef carried over.
Yeah.
They played like what, 6 slates or 10 slates of like of Thunderdomes.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what started that. Can you remember? I think it was, I don't know, one of them started talking shit. Probably Empire Maker.
I think it had something to do with like best tournament player in the world stuff, or like versus best DFS player in the world, something like that. I could be wrong. I barely remember.
Empire Maker would just challenge. He'll play anybody in anything -110 or something. -120.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I think
Anyways, that was that one. Empire Maker did win that.
Yep.
And during that same challenge is the next one where him and Rufus Peabody had one. It was golf only. And then Rufus Peabody went to Las Vegas for a trip or something. He didn't realize, since he doesn't play DFS as much, that you can't edit your lineups in Vegas. And so he canceled the week, and Empire Maker like sicked the dogs on him. And he was like threatening to try to ruin his life and everything. And then,
I forgot about that one too. Yeah.
Yeah. I suggested to Rufus, like, just get rid of the VIG, like, because he was given a -110 or something, or -120.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, just say it's even and just finish it out next 2 weeks or whatever. And that's what they ended up doing. Chess Is Okay and Ricky D was from the show and Twitter. Ricky D just talking shit about Chess Is Okay, basically.
Yeah. All right. So, and then the following one. You want to finish the nominees here?
Yeah, Fantasy Cruncher Dave, if you guys are DFS knowledgeable at all, he like has a beef with someone every other time. So I felt like I have to throw FC Dave in there.
Well, spoiler alert, let's reveal best DFS beef does indeed go to FC Dave versus the world. And I don't even know what any of these beefs are, but clearly he just narrowly edged out Chess Is Okay and Ricky D, Osmo and Empire Maker. Chess Is Okay and Ricky D would have definitely been my vote. I'm kind of upset that the Lulz community didn't hammer that one.
Yeah, I probably would have done Osmo and Empire Maker. I thought that one was a really good one. FC Dave, I think it's probably the volume.
Yeah. What is even the most recent one? Someone said he was going after Big T.
Big T. Yep. That was the most recent one. Big T.
What was that even about?
I don't know. I don't know. I think it's anyone who's like, has like, doesn't like an optimizer of a different company or something like that.
Okay.
I'm not, gotcha. I'm not sure. Maybe there's probably more to the story. I have no idea.
It's okay. All right. Congratulations to FC Dave versus the world. 408 votes for that one. You know, Travis here in the chat saying Chess is okay versus Ricky D is too low key, way too many passive aggressive shots and not enough full on aggression. I would say there was some pretty good full on aggression from Ricky D headed toward Chess is okay's way.
Not FC Dave aggression.
Right.
Not Empire Maker aggression.
Those are different levels of
Empire Maker aggression. Was like hiring Chinese trolls to try to ruin Rufus's life or something like
that. Yeah. All right. Our next category. And this feels so long ago because most of these were from the first half of the year, obviously, but we have the best Top Shot purchase. Brian, of course, this was even a hot topic of Lowell's conversation back in, you know, March and April. Why don't you read our three nominees here?
All right. We got, three nominees. Bales, the Encode, Ja Morant, Osmo's 50 Lucas. Is that even, that might be a low.
We might not have done the full on reporting to figure out how many of those.
Yeah, we're ballparking.
Yes.
And of course, our infamous live on stream purchase of a Nikola Jokic, which, by the way, is for sale. If you'd like to go and purchase that, we do have it up on the marketplace over at Top Shot.
It's been listed for a little while, hasn't it?
It's been listed for like a month.
Yeah, we resisted. I mean, we're up on it just relative to the floor to where we couldn't even tax harvest it, right?
Yeah, it's I think above value. Yeah. Who knows? It won't sell.
Well, so as clearly three iconic Top Shot purchases, and the winner is none other. Oh no, sorry, that's the wrong screen. That's still DFS beef. The winner is best Top Shot purchase goes to Pete and Brian's Nikola Jokic. Congratulations to us. I mean, I think this is, you know, when you kind of put these in the frame of history, and so it's like, sure, Bales wrote that Substack post that basically launched the Top Shot craze across the DFS community. I think it certainly deserves to be second, but I think you and I, you know, fractionally going in on that Jokic, you 9/10, me 1/10 of it. Yeah. I think that really was kind of the quintessential Top Shot purchase.
I agree. Yeah. I think they started that lucky trader after our purchase, after witnessing us make that purchase.
It actually, the name is in reference to us, just kind of our fortune.
Wow. Those guys got lucky.
Okay.
And that Jokic, do you remember that? They got lucky. Hey.
And Osimo, of course, you know, very close there. I'm impressed that we had 29%. There we can't forget Osmo going hard. My buddy Mike Zakarian was even telling me he was grinding some of the flash challenges in the marketplace. He couldn't help but notice Osmo was in there making a lot of the same transactions recently. So Osmo is still deep in those Top Shot streets grinding.
You know, it's a good thing he won that millie, because that actually probably broke him even on the Luka Top Shot purchases.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, this poll actually did only have three entrants, and so it was tough to leave out, you know, Jack Settleman and his crew buying the number 23 LeBron James. But you can't be picky. I mean, Brian, like, once you start letting that in, then there's 20 entrants on here, right?
That's true, yeah. He would have taken away from the others anyways, you know? Like,
I think not so. Us. All right, this one, Brian, the best DFS player to have a threesome with. And I don't even know if you should reveal all the entrants for this one.
There's no point. So go ahead.
I do feel like RBX88 could have been included on this.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I think that's our only mix, but we have a runaway landslide in favor of literally anyone other than Mach Lovin.
See, I think Mach Lovin's the clear answer here.
He is, because he's a tender lover who's going to help you make money in these high stakes three mans.
Lots of money. Very good at three mans. And I watch Red Letter Media. I think I told you about before, the YouTube channel where they review movies. And Mike on there has this line, like movies in the 80s and 90s. had like their directors when they would have like a buddy comedy, like two dudes. He said like they would give one of the characters a case of the not gays, right? Like, because like they don't want, you know, if it's like questionable, they'll like throw in some awkward scene of the guy like, oh man, I had sex with all those girls, I'm not gay, you know, like. So he says they write in like case of the not gays, so like the, you know, the audience was like, just in case you guys were worried about it. I think the DFS bros have a case of the not gays. And they couldn't vote.
I see what you're saying. Yes, you're saying that people got a little squirmish to admit that he would be the best player. I mean, I think everyone just needs to get their mind out of the gutter. This clearly is in reference to three-man contests on DraftKings. I thought threesome, menage a trois, three-mans, I thought those were all kind of synonymous with each other.
They are.
Congratulations, though. And, you know, Mock Love in second place finish, there isn't anything to... In three mans, Brian, is a second place finish good?
Well, not really.
Okay. All right. So sorry about that, McLovin. But however, if he was colluding with literally anyone else, then being second in a three man would be good, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
He could have rigged it. He needed someone else in the poll.
He probably took this link to the underground, probably DraftKings social media site, and was whipping up some votes.
We should have thrown RBX in. You're right. I don't know what the RBX probably would have ran away with. No, see, because they have a case of the not gays. I still think literally anyone else would have won.
All right. Our next poll, and this was only a two-horse race. The most devastating block of the year, Twitter block of the year. Not, this isn't another Top Shot moment. Brian, who are our nominees?
Yeah. Vegas Dave blocking me and Randone blocking Pete.
This is right. And I hate to say it, Brian, but my friend Chris Randone blocking me on Twitter after we had such a fruitful online relationship did run away with this one. I think just because it was a little bit more publicized than yours, but two vicious blocks. But I think what's nice about this, Brian, is that we were able to kind of work together to see the tweets. You know, I could show you Vegas Dave tweets, you would show me Randone tweets, and together it's like we didn't miss anything.
Yeah, I think it's hurt our relationship a little bit, mine and Vegas Dave's, honestly. But I'm still hoping one day he'll unblock me.
Yeah, I'm kind of you. I had something happen on Sunday that made me think I might be closer to a Randone unblocking, and that is Tanner of Jade and Tanner Tolbert. He followed me on Twitter on Sunday. I imagine it was because I think he was in the finals of a DK.
Oh, that's right.
Best ball. And maybe he felt kind of a kinship with me as just kind of best ball bros sweating it out on Sunday.
That's probably it. And he probably has no idea that Randone blocked you from making jokes about him.
Yeah. And so I'm hopeful that, you know, we can maintain this relationship despite, you know, kind of a controversial thing between some of our mutuals in Randone. It also, I do think it's our journalistic duty to mention that DeFi Rangers, the Randone NFT project, was officially deemed a rug by the community, and that Randone is nowhere to be found with that project and that money.
Oh, okay. I saw a tweet in Discord on that. So like, what does that mean?
Like, how I think it basically these. The reason it's a rug is because people promise roadmaps and that you're going to keep developing the project and do all these things to continuously bring value to the project. And then if you just ghost, then the project has no legs. Now, some would argue that the project had no legs to begin with, but some people thought it did, apparently.
How can you walk away with money? I don't understand that.
What do you mean?
Well, because like, don't you just make the NFTs and sell them, and then whatever people buy, they buy? Like,
right, but people are often buying based on the promise of the team growing it and making them worth more long term.
Okay, so the money you made off of it, you should reinvest, is what they're saying.
Yeah, a lot of teams, you know, put back into the community and, you know, do whether they're doing airdrops, you know, Bored Apes is giving people Mutant Apes and other dogs and all this stuff.
I gotcha. I see what their point of view, because I'm picturing like you send someone money for this product and it never comes, you know, like in real life. And right. It's like, oh, that was just a complete scam. Like, or right. like those movie ones that happen on GoFundMe. Like they send them $100,000 to make a movie. They just never make the movie. Like that's yeah. a fucking straight up rugging. But I guess if it's, if the, whatever the status quo is, like you would reinvest this shit.
That's right. And that actually brings us to a very nice segue to our next award here, which is the NFT project of the year. Brian, the nominees.
Well, okay. Crypto Rangers, I guess, slash DeFi Rangers.
Yeah, I thought it was Crypto Rangers. And then that tweet that came through, it looked like it was DeFi Rangers. Maybe they had a branding pivot.
That used to be, I'm pretty sure it used to be Crypto Rangers. You know, Osmo was watching in my channel. Do you still have one of those, Alex? What did you buy, a DeFi Ranger or a Crypto Ranger? And then the second one's a Mans coin.
Wow, shout out to Mans.
And then Lazy Lions, of course.
And the Lazy Lions. There
can't be any other nominees. These are clearly the three definitive top these coins of 2021.
These are all special projects. They have a special place in a lot of the DFS community's heart. And the winner, Pete Manzanelli, congratulations. You wow. did beat out both Crypto Rangers and Lazy Lions. This was a landslide for Manscoin here.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking like the ironic vote might get you, but not even close.
I probably would have voted for Lazy Lions.
I think I voted for Crypto Rangers.
Crypto Rangers, yeah. Roars, mm-hmm. not floors there for the Lions. But I will say Manscoin predates both of these projects. And so maybe that kind of first mover Lindy effect was big here.
Congratulations, Mans.
Yeah. I will be sure to he's somewhere in a hot tub with multiple ladies right now. Maybe with Mach Lovin, who knows? Yeah, thank God it wasn't a legit Twitter poll. That this would have been botted. And Brian and I actually considered this when we were debating how to do it. We wanted there to be a level of effort for people who really cared. Wouldn't you say that was the thesis, Brian?
Yeah, that, and I didn't want to retype everything.
That too. All right, this is a fun one. Wow, did you add Splash Play to Best DFS Podcast after the fact?
I did a couple of ads too. Alex is in my chat. He says I'm still got my YOLO DeFi Ranger.
That's hot. I mean, hold on right. to that. I mean, that might be, you know, it might be like a CryptoPunk artifact in a while, you know, the first of its kind, the first yeah, Crypto Ranger
now.
NFT.
Yeah, hold now.
All right, Brian, why don't you read the nominees for Best DFS Podcast? And this is an exhaustive list of all the best DFS podcasts.
The only ones out there, really. Swolecast, The Takecast, which I was on 2 weeks ago, I think, 3 weeks ago. The Theory of DFS. The Theory of DFS! do your blender.
I don't know. Just vote for whoever you want. I don't care.
Two more nominees.
Pat Mayo Experience and Splash Play.
Splash Play. Wow. I'm feeling, you know, lots of friends of the show here, of course. And the toughest scene here, I think, is for Takecast. But the winner, the runaway winner, we all stand on the shoulders of a giant in Soccer Dave. The Swolecast wow. wins here 40%. Theory of DFS with a nice showing of 31%.
DFS. He retweeted that too. Couldn't pull it out. I'm kind of surprised. A little surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing, you know, Theory of DFS, they normally release kind of retrospective on the week before, kind of like looking back. I think the first, you know, the Swolecast is kind of the first look show in the industry, kind of upcoming look at the slate. I think that's just always going to be, you know, monumental for people. And I understand why it's up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a fan personally, but you know, no, I'm kidding.
That's fine. I mean, it's, you know, we all need to remain objective with these polls. If anything, that's all we have is our objectivity.
I voted for the Takecast. I only vote for podcasts that I appear on.
Yeah. I bet I could. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could have filled in for Tuttle today on the Swolecast.
Oh, Tuttle wasn't there, huh?
No, he wasn't. He's sick. So he ran a three man. Mach Lovin, we should have invited. All right.
Oh, I speaking of which, I did invite him, Mach Lovin, on Lulz official request through DM. He's not on Twitter a ton, it looks like.
Yeah.
So he still hasn't responded. I'm holding out a little bit of hope. But like, what podcast?
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, if he wants to, like, what better podcast would there be to go on and talk to somebody?
Yeah, I mean, because he's not just going to slide onto a show and tout. I mean, we're going to provide him a platform to come and talk about, you know, whatever he wants and maybe a few questions that we have.
Yeah.
Sentiment is pretty, I mean, when I read through tweets, people are pretty angry about Mock Lovin.
Right. And so if he has a desire to, you know, put up an argument, where else would he go? And like, we're not looking to like get him or anything. So I honestly think it'd be a good spot for him to come and talk. Did you see like the Polk's podcast? I don't know, he had Dan Bilzerian on.
I listened to that one on my plane ride back. I had finally gotten back to listening to some of those Polk ones. The Bilzerian one was awkward.
Yeah. What did you think besides it was awkward? Like, what do you think about you have any other thoughts on it?
I mean, it was just like, the reason it was awkward is just because they kept arguing about the same thing. You know, it was like, he kept dancing around. He kept using the one example of how Polk like edited him in that video. And that's why he was mad at him, instead of Polk's like, okay, fine. Yeah, whatever. Now answer the actual question about how you got your buddy. And so it just took so long to get to any kind of meat or anything interesting there. And every time Polk would kind of, you know, drill down on him on a specific question, like, oh, you made X amount of money playing online. And then he just like reference 1 month on Bodog.
Yeah.
You know, it was like he didn't come across as believable. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I doubt anyone has the full hand history of Bodog back then. They weren't very easy to get, like even for yourself, much less of everybody. I actually thought he was defended himself pretty good.
You did.
Bilzerian. I don't know. He kind of convinced me.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know where he would get that initial money.
Yeah.
That's still in question. Like, he says poker. Okay, fine. But like, once he has that, then the rest of the story to me makes sense. Like, that they thought he was a trust fund kid. He played it up, got into some games against Beal or whoever else these guys are. And isn't J-Mac, isn't his father-in-law Beal?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
J-Mac, find out the truth on this. hey, father-in-law, did you lose $30 million to Dan Bilzerian? Yeah.
I will just say, I agree with you with that take. Like, once you have money, like getting access to those kind of games and just how he presented himself, I could see how he would be a guy that people wanted to play with. But his whole thing about like, well, how would my dad give me money? You know, it's all locked up in, you know, the trust fund stuff. Like, I didn't buy that there's no other loopholes for a parent to give their child money.
Well, but I don't buy that. If you're just going, is there other loopholes? Yes, there is. But probabilistically, I kind of do buy it. It's not that easy to give someone $5 million. Like, if you're in a position where you really don't want that kind of scrutiny, I mean, I kind of believe that too. Or at least, I mean, I'm not sure if I want to say I believe anything here. I'm just saying, like, he definitely swayed me more than I just thought it was. Obviously, everyone knew he was some rich kid, and maybe he got lucky here or there, but that's where he got his money. Now I'm not so sure. But yeah, even that wasn't that bad. I think the one thing that was, it wasn't like concerning on whether he got his money from his dad. It was just when he asked him, he kind of changed the subject and he's like, do you have any regrets? Do you remember that part? Do you have any regrets? And he couldn't think of any regrets and goes into this spiel about how he thinks he's going to be a billionaire by the end of next year or something like that.
Yeah.
He's and like, also, just to let you know, on the question of how, do you have any regrets, your answer was talking about you becoming a billionaire.
I wish Polk would have pressed him too on, like, you know, there's been multiple articles too about how his weed company or whatever, what's it called, Ignite, how that they were bankrupt and he had basically blown through all of their investor funds, just living his lavish lifestyle and all that stuff.
Right. Yeah. He didn't touch on that, but doesn't he still have that? And that's the company he thinks is going to be worth $1 billion.
I guess. No, I think he's had that for a couple years. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's what, I mean, he definitely, it would have been interesting to hear that answers to that. But I mean, I guess he's saying, oh no, we're gonna be a billion. He answers it by going, no, we're gonna be $1 billion company next year. So like, it doesn't matter. No,
but then in the same breath, he's talking about how hard it is for a big weed company to scale. He's like, you know, the black market, they don't have to pay any taxes. Their shit is better because it doesn't have to be, you know, regulated and tested and all this. It's like, okay, yeah, this sounds like we're on a $1 billion trajectory here.
And the thing with the regrets answer too, like even there, I don't know why I'm defending this guy. Like we're just like being charitable to him. But even that, I'm thinking like maybe people like him, like they just seriously don't think about it. Like I was listening to this Lex Fridman, Elon Musk podcast the other day. And Lex asked Elon, what was the question? He asked him, what was it? Oh, I can't remember. It was something like what is like the, how do you get through hard times or something like that? I can't remember what it was. And he like sat there in silence for like 20 seconds. And he's like, I don't think that way. Like, I don't have an answer for it. You know what I mean? Like, and I wish I remember the question. Cause it would make more sense. Like maybe some people just like, they like, oh, I never think in regrets and that's why I'm successful. I mean, not him specifically or whatever, but like even there, I could kind of see that answer like kind of making sense. Like if he was like Elon, thought like people think of him like Elon. Well, like a lot of people, I know a lot of people hate Elon. Like you give him the benefit of the doubt, but you don't give somebody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. It's also like if he really is all that successful and whatever, like he shouldn't care what Doug Polk thinks, you know, like he really, really cares. You could tell how like offended he was. I mean, he was literally getting upset about how he like edited a video to show him mumbling. Like he was very upset about that. It's like, dude, you're a future billionaire. Like, why do you give a shit about this?
Yeah, I mean, but I'm
no, I like again. I like you defending Bilzerian. He, it's fun for me.
I mean, even the way he approached that, I think was fine. He's like, listen, you sent a text that was a little shady. Like, I guess Bill Perkins sent him a text and he wasn't supposed to say it live, like, because it's a private correspondence between somebody else. But leaving that aside, he's like, listen, this is what you said. I will bet a private arbitrator that they don't say this is true. You know what I'm saying? So he's like, I can understand why, like, okay, you just made all my peers hate me and think I'm a dumbass and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I mean? Like if like everyone at DFS started turning on me in poker, I'd be like, well, that kind of sucks. You know what I mean? Like, and it is part of his persona. It probably costs him millions of dollars.
But he can't have his cake and eat it too. Cause another line he had in that show, he's like, yeah, part of my whole reason for getting famous is I just thought it'd be funny to like, see how much I could push it. Like see how far I could take like being famous just on this lifestyle. So it's like, oh yeah, this is just some like throwaway persona thing. I wanted to see how far I could run it up. But also I deeply care so much about what you guys say about me. It just doesn't all line up for me.
Well, I mean, you can be a person who lives with a couple contradictions.
Of course you can.
I mean, you can't be like pure logic on every single thing. I mean, I think it's okay to be like, no, I started this as a fucking a goof. And, you know, the thing you did, it made me look bad in front of people I actually respect. And it cost me millions of dollars. And by the way, this thing you sent Bill is bullshit and I'll bet you $1 million. He's not really a good talker or speaker or defender of his. He didn't get upset, really. You know, like he seems like the type of guy, like if he was in front of you, he would be way more animated than that and be like, okay, get this guy away from me. You know what I mean? Like,
I will give him credit for doing the podcast because to me, it's a zero upside for him. Only downside.
I was just going to say he can't win. No. I mean, like, he's, because he's like, I'll bet you $1 million. I'll show you the bank account. Here's the logic behind these things. And no one probably still believes him.
No. And also, that's the dumbest bet. Like, we'll get an arbitrator to like bet $1 million on whether this checks out. I was like, yeah, okay, this bet doesn't add up. Anyways. All right. We had a Dan Bilzerian halftime show for the 2021 Lulz Awards. We are going to transition. We have four more polls here. The best Lulz guest. And I will say, unironically, we had some awesome guests this year, had a lot of fun, you know, getting to know some of these guys that don't have as big of a footprint online and on Twitter. So Brian, the nominees.
So the nominees, before I say them all, Petty's watching the show. I did do the redo the poll and I had Petty in there and I sent the wrong one on Twitter. So sorry.
Oh, okay.
Chess is okay. Whistles Go Woo and Ricky D.
Ricky D. All right, folks. And the winner here is I agree with this vote, but I was a little surprised. I thought Whistles might win it, but Chess is okay. Runs away with it here at 47%. I agree with this take because Chess is okay was such a mystery and he came on so hot, right? Like, he just came out guns a-blazing. Like, we were kind of stunned that he came out just going after people so quickly. And I think it made it a very interesting revelatory podcast.
I voted Chess. I agree with everything you just said. Yeah, it was, because especially the end, because he loosened up too throughout the hour. And like at the end, he's just, I'm like, okay, give us some more. I'm just going down the DFS rankings and he's just giving fucking hot take after hot take. Whistles Go Woo. I'm kind of surprised. Cause you DM'd him. No, we found his email on, go ahead.
So, yeah, no, it was someone in the chat that episode a couple of weeks before where we were talking about him and someone started doing some sleuthing online and found his adjunct professor email. And so I then just tried to take a stab and I just cold emailed him from my personal account. And he's like, yeah, let's do it.
And, yeah. And so like the whole thing was totally random. And then, you know, but his appearance wasn't that great. He was very, and for me, it was very stiff, but then I started grilling him and stuff. I thought people, and a lot of people responded to that. So I thought he easily could have won, but people love Ricky D too. Like, we had a lot of views for that one.
My thing with Ricky D is it was hard for his episode by itself to just stand out on its own. But Ricky D, like, if we were to ever add a third co-host to this show, I could see it being like Ricky D. I feel like he's just like a natural fit. Like, when we had Whistles on, we were having to do interviewing. When we had Chess is Okay on, we were just sitting back and letting Chess talk. When we had Ricky D on, we had an actual conversation.
That's true. Yeah. And Petty too, actually.
Of course. Yeah. And so I am glad that Ricky got some votes here. I think he's a perfect fit for this show. And because everyone's kind of takeaway memory from the Whistles Go Woo, and even mine, is really nothing that Whistle said. It was more you grilling him. To me, that was the best part of that interview.
Yeah, that one was a classic.
All right, congratulations to Chess is Okay on your big victory there. Next up, I am excited about this one. In this one, I don't use the term hotly contested lightly here. The DFS's Sexiest Man of the Year Award. Brian, we probably should have had some photos to accompany this, but the nominees, please.
Alex Baker, aka Awesomeo, been working out a lot. I don't know if you guys been simping on his tweets, but he's been working out on that. Soccer Dave, he did some modeling this year. I don't know if you remember that. RBX88, he has so much sex, he misses entire slates.
It is true. And like I said, all three of these sexy men earned at least 30% of the vote. Ultimately, however, it is none other than Mr. Alex Baker, your Sexiest Man of the Year. Congratulations, Alex. Well deserved.
Congratulations. Yeah. He said in my chat that, remember, we have feelings too. So you should feel fine now, Alex.
What did he say? Robots have feelings too?
I just saw this too. It was Soccer Dave made a little comeback since when I saw it later.
I wonder if Soccer Dave started going around and
he needed to he needed to retweet it.
He did. Yeah. This one is very close. I I think all of these guys are worthy contenders. Osimo, I think, probably puts himself out there the most, demonstrating his sexiness. We've gotten lots of push-up videos, lots of kind of selfies with the dumbbell. And so I think he kind of really solidified that. Soccer Dave had a stretch there where he was doing a lot of gym selfie content. I think if he would have continued that over the course of the year, he probably would have won it, but he kind of fell off. And then RBX88, he shines so bright, but he also just hasn't been around kind of flaunting it. I mean, not on Twitter to really get this out there.
I think it, and this is also kind of a flawed poll because we don't have a large female audience. And I think if we had more female followers, RBX88, especially Venezuelan females, as he's mentioned on our show before, he would have just walked away with this one.
Yeah. RBX88 famously just recently, when he created a Twitter account, he was only on Instagram. He used to DM me on Instagram asking to come on the show. And now he's on Twitter, trolling DraftKings for their DFS, NBA pricing.
He's fitting right in. We got two polls left.
Yeah. Let's do, we're going to do this one first, save the conspiracy theory one for last.
All right.
This one was a late entrant. I forget who suggested this one, Brian, but it is a cash game grinder of the year. Only two entries here.
By popular demand. Yeah. Peter Overzet and Adam Levitan.
All right. Adam Levitan, of course, a titan of DFS industry and cash games, has been writing and talking about it for literally years. Me, I've played cash games for 1.5 weeks in my entire life. And I am proud to say, folks, the cash game king is here.
Wow.
The cash game grinder of the year. And now I think, Brian, the fine print that you probably should clarify is this for 2021 or 2022? Because I did start building my shell for week 18 in 2021 mentally.
These awards are all for 2021. So You're the front runner for 2022 as well.
Okay, good. I would hope that I would. And I guess, man, you know what? This is such a tricky limbo because last year cash game week was week 17. This year we get the extra week although I believe last year cash game week was still in the new year. So I think I get to bank those points from last January.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Well, I mean, this is democracy in action, Pete. So yeah. You win. It's over.
So Frederick asks, how many head-to-heads am I up to on DraftKings? I have 92 different head-to-head invites that I've received. You can send them to me at RevertZTop. The link is in my Twitter bio. I have them all over the map from $1, even free ones. Even if you just want a money-free sweat, feel free to send it. I have all the way up to $100 head-to-head games for this week. I appreciate this award, Brian. It really is an honor for me.
Well, it's deserved, Bean. What was your total last year? How many head-to-heads?
How much? Yeah, I know my total that I got down was like $4,500 total, and I don't remember the actual number of head-to-heads.
You could probably go to one of your last shows, shows you did last year, and see. Be interesting to see if you get more this year than last year.
I think I'm on a good pace. I still have, so today's Wednesday. I'll have tomorrow, Friday. I'm doing my show with Derek Carty. The man behind the Blitz projection system. He's going to get me on the straight and narrow. So I still have a few days. I think on this pace I'm on, I would be happy if I could hit 5K in head-to-head action.
I wish you would have said Carty when we were in Discord, because we could have definitely done a poll with Carty and some, or also too, like best projection site, best DFS site. Why not?
There you go. Well, Brian, we put this together very last minute, so you can't fault us.
You guys should just be happy. This is as good as it got.
All right. This is probably my favorite one. This was a late entrant here. It actually didn't get a ton of votes. You know what I'm going to do? I'm actually going to put this direct link in the chat right now, because I think we need some more votes. It's only at 71 votes. But Brian, why don't you set it up while people get their votes in? The best DFS truth / conspiracy theory.
Okay. The first choice is WGW equals Fed, which is whistles go woo is a Fed. That is a rumor someone started. Or maybe it's true. Who knows? Number two, Alex Baker is an Android. Not a robot, an android. Number three, Alex Baker's from Planet Zorkon B. And lastly, Chess is Okay puts in 80 hours a week.
You know, these are one thing I'm noticing about these is the Chess is Okay one. That was he said that one on the podcast. It was something that was discussed around the internet a good bit. The other ones, Brian, I believe they were all concocted by you.
I can't remember. I think some of them might have been.
Okay. You know, that's fair. You know, maybe these appeared somewhere else and I just missed it. I just feel like I heard you talking about it. And also, do you think it's too much Alex Baker on the best conspiracy theory poll that he gets two spots?
Well, the way I figured is then one of them's probably true.
Ooh, okay.
And one of them's probably a conspiracy because there's two of them.
This is like when I would take, you know, the SAT test and you're actually just trying to figure out kind of like the proctor's thought process behind the question more so than the actual answer itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Exactly. All right. Well,
I guess you can be an android from Planet Zorkon B.
Well, the winner, Alex Baker, kind of canceled himself out there, and Chess is Okay. Absolute landslide here. Puts in 80 hours a week. That was a hot topic of conversation and a go-to joke in the DFS sphere these days.
It's still going hot, apparently. You know who talks about it a lot is Laffy.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Laffy show. Yeah.
He mentioned it to me on the contrary on Friday. Yeah.
He did. Yeah. The second one I did this year, he mentioned it. Yeah. He does it a lot. And by the way, who's Pat Petty, I think, told me, like, no, that's probably right. Steve Buzzard told me, no, that's probably right. That's what they do. So
yeah.
Hey,
there you go. 80 hours a week. Yeah, someone asked me on Twitter for my cash game preparation if I was going to be near 80, and I'm actually looking to get in about 160 this week.
Wow. How many hours in a week?
Let me do the math on that. So 24 times 7, 168. So yeah, about 8 hours off, you know, basically an hour and what would that be? About 8 minutes of sleep a night or something. And otherwise, I'm going to be just kind of grinding my cash game shell.
That's why you were voted number one, Pete. I have a comment in my, I can't even pronounce it. Shupri Minka Doom. Where did Pete get that jacket? Fire AF.
What? My hoodie?
Is that a hoodie? Is that what you're asking?
It's available in the store. We got the link down below. You can get in the merch. We got Cash Game King mug. We got a Please Scoop Me Bro shirt. And we got a Cash Game King hoodie. Get comfy. There you go.
There you go, guy.
Let me see. I thought there was maybe a couple others that I had written down that didn't make it into the polls. Tweet of the year, I thought, was Dave Kluge doing calling the Philadelphia PD to find out about DeAndre Swift.
That would have been a good one. Yeah. Tweet of the year. That's up there.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have a good one? See, this is the problem, is we did this so fast, like we couldn't get any feedback, but I bet there's some good.
If it was last year, the Randone like pandemic, just have the girl send you a photo of them listening to a podcast or reading a book.
That was a good one.
That was a really good one.
That was a really good one.
Guys, we're trying to do an award show right now, and you guys are peppering Brian for ownership projections.
It's up on my site if you're really interested. That is just a counter. Brick75.com.
There you
free
go.
Of charge.
I have no idea. I had phrase of the year. Let's go. Or don't dupe me, bro.
Oh, I forgot. I would have done that one. I was going back through the comments. I forgot about that one.
No.
Dupe me, bro. Let's go. Yeah. Don't dupe me, bro. Definitely one. Beat anything, probably. But
yeah.
What other ones are there?
Coin of the year, Shiba coin.
I mean, Shiba should definitely win coin of the year. What if you put that up there? Doge, Shiba, Bitcoin,
Ethereum.
Sure, or Solana or something.
I think Shiba runs away with it. Let's see here. Hobby of the year, naked yoga or fishing with fish gloves.
Yeah. I think we shut that shit down, by the way, because I googled naked yoga recently and I didn't see any.
Really?
I think they pulled it all down.
To check. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Yeah, I think those were some of the, I had already done, I had my, the Nature is Healing Award, which was Tanner Tolbert following me on Twitter. I think we hit most of them there. What a year, Brian.
I feel like you got a DM Tanner eventually.
Yeah. I would see if he'd come on. Yeah.
We had two that we didn't put a poll up for. NFT Bro of the Year and
Frederick, you're really outing yourself as someone who hasn't been watching these shows this year. Please go back and watch Naked Yoga and Fish Gloves episode.
Manly men do. Expert anglers. Frederick.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Willis said poodle would be included in the coins.
See, I didn't even know what that reference is, honestly.
Poodle was the one that Bales was in, probably like in the spring. I was even in a Poodle Telegram chat at one point, and they were trying to capture kind of the Dogecoin magic in that Shiba actually was able to kind of capitalize on. Brian, we have someone in the chat saying that your website is expired. Could this be?
I don't think so. Let me go.
No, I don't think so because I'm on it right now.
Okay, thank you. No, it's working fine.
Come
here,
on, bud.
I'll fucking look it up for you.
Look at, there you go. No, he was
Hovland.
This. There you go. Victor Hovland.
21.5%.
There you go.
Shout out to bro. I spelled his name wrong. He showed me on Twitter. We were gonna do what was the title? So you can't like do rookie of the year. Like that would be an obvious one, right? Like DFS rookie of the year, but like who knows when someone started?
Cause it's more by feel, right? It's when someone burst on the scene. Because even what was it last year? Was Whistles kind of the one who burst onto the scene?
Yeah, because like before he won that the 2.5 million or whatever, he really wasn't winning that much. And like he lost his first year, he said. And then you can't do most improved because that's the same problem as rookie. Oh, I'm sorry, comeback. And so I was thinking, well, most improved, but that's even hard. But anyways, it would have been bro by a landslide for anyone who's paying attention. And also on some of these polls, like there's only so many people paying that close attention to this stuff.
Yeah.
And NFT bro, we were going to give to Bales, obviously.
Bales did lose out on top shot purchase of the year, but right. I think he would have gotten his due with NFT bro of the year, the Substack article, lucky trader, big year for Bales, moving NFTs to the DFS masses.
Yeah. We went, as we often do, devolves into bits instead of doing a serious poll.
Yes. But what I think the winners, the real winners, Brian, are the LOLs audience. Audience of the year. I know we didn't put up to a poll, but I am giving them audience of the year.
I think Alex he wins a million and wins sexiest DFS player of the year in less than a week.
It is pretty good. And he got married. I mean, just a huge year. A huge year for Alex. We got to get Alex back on now that he did finally win a Millie Maker.
That's right. Yeah, we should bring him on. We had another idea too. Mach 11, we want to do this one we had. Oh, I wanted to invite a poker player on too. We'll see if that happens.
Yeah. Excited for LOLs in 2022. Thank you guys, as always, for hanging out with us on Wednesday nights. Please subscribe to either of our channels, wherever you're watching. We'll have the audio version up later tonight. Brian, any final words?
Follow me on Gitter. Number one ranked DFS player on Gitter. I have 4 followers now.
Awesome.
At Brian Hooper.
Yeah. And, only send me invites, head to head invites on DraftKings, not friend requests. Please make sure you're making the correct distinction. For Brian Hooper, I'm Peter Overzet. Have a great new year.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.